Hi, how are you guys doing? You guys look so nice this morning. All right. Is this cool with y'all? I carry this Voss bottle, but it's not Voss. So this is just my way of like looking really cool, and somebody's like, you spent $2 on a bottle of water. I said, no, this is like Walmart Brita water. They're Walmart's filtered water, but it does the job. Oh my goodness. Today is my son James's 5th birthday. He turned 5. And he's been talking about it and annoying us for a long time about it. He's been like, how many days? Is it, 6 days? No, 7 days. He's always like 1 day off. 4 days? No, it's, 3 days. And anyway, this morning, got to go in his room. He had bedhead. He's kind of rolling off, and just looked like a frat boy. And I came in, I was like, it's your birthday today. And the dude got the hugest smile. I mean, he just like so giddy. And he was like, oh, it's my birthday. And like Silas didn't care. He was like, oh, whatever. And James was like, it's my birthday. And he ended up like, he did like this little, oh wait. We ended up getting his birthday balloon, which was in our room. And he did like this little skip. He was like, oh. And it was almost like his bones couldn't keep up with his soul. I mean, he was just like, his body was limiting the movement that he required for the happiness that he had. And you know what? That made me so, I mean, that just blessed my heart so much because, as a dad, you just are obsessed with your child having joy. You are obsessed with it because you just have like this compassion that just isn't there. I mean, I always liked kids, but I mean, I thought I did, but kind of looking back, I mean, I didn't really give a rip about any kids. I mean, I love kids and stuff, but, there's not that soul tie. And I'm just like, I kind of made you and stuff, and you're here, and you look like I did when I was little, and there's just like this, like, deep, deep bond that we have, and I'm just obsessed with him. He's awesome, and he was just giddy. He was smiling and laughing so much, he could hardly eat his Cheerios this morning. He's like... I mean, he was just off the charts. And what's amazing is that's the Father's heart. That's the Father's heart. What amazes me is that God wants us to be filled with joy. And he wants us to feel fulfilled and to be fulfilled. He wants us to live out our purpose. We kind of have this myth because a lot of times we don't feel that, we don't sense that, we don't live with joy, that we're just not destined for it, or that's just something that isn't a part of our everyday experience. But God truly wants you to have joy and to have fulfillment. Now, I'm going to spoil my sermon. I always spoil sermons because if you don't take away one getaway from this, we all wasted our time and you just looked at a beard for 30 minutes and, you might as well have watched Full House, okay? I'm going to spoil the sermon. This is my basic gist. Everybody on your seat, you have one of these cards. We're in a series called In the Name of Love. The most profound way you will get joy and you will get fulfillment is by spreading kingdom. The single reason you are here right now instead of in heaven, you ever wonder why we don't beeline it to heaven when we say yes to Jesus? We say yes to Jesus and, it's like, why are we still here? It should be deal done. You paid for my sins. We're done. And the scriptures say, no, you are the body of Christ. You are the light of the world. The reason you're here is love. And I just spoiled my whole sermon. So if you want to zone out for the next 25 minutes, please feel free. We're going to pray. And God, we just need you because I don't want to miss out on what you're doing. We want to partner with you, God. We don't want to miss a thing, Lord. This is what this whole thing is about, Lord. And we just want to be there because you are the greatest dad ever. You rock. You love us, bedhead and all. You just adore us, and you want us to have joy and fulfillment And God, we just wreck our worlds right now, Lord. Just pour your truth into our hearts. We're ready for this thing. We're ready to get this thing. We don't want to see Leland and Wilmington go untouched by your love. We want to partner with you, God. We want to see your great works so that we could tell of those works to our children and our children's children. We could see kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're ready, God, and this is our moment. Seal this in our hearts, and I'm so sorry that I'm moving around so much. We'll see if sound stays good. I love you, Jesus. You are just amazing. You are awesome, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, we are in Matthew 25. I scared Heath a little bit. He preached out of Matthew 25 last week, and he scared me because I've had this prepared. And I was like, oh, he's preaching Matthew 25. Okay, it's going to be a bad week. And thankfully, we preached different parts of it. Matthew 25 will be on your screen. I'm going to be preaching out of the ESV for no particular reason. I'm going to read all the way through it. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. Oh, my eyes are not bad. Why is this happening to me? All right, to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more, but he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also, who had the 2 talents, came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The word of the Lord. This begins by saying, for it will be like. And so the natural question is, what is it? What is this parable a picture of? And we know from earlier in the chapter, he's talking about the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, and kingdom are all the same. There's no distinction. In Matthew, he tends to say kingdom of heaven. In other places, they say kingdom of God. It's all the same thing. Kingdom means the rule and reign of God. That means where God is completely ruling and reigning. So when Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, he's talking about literally his rule, his reign over people, over situations. And there's an interesting implication with this. This parable is not just about the future. Now, we see with parables, we get pictures, okay? We get a picture of eternal destiny and we get a picture of the future, but there are overarching principles here that are at work about the kingdom that don't just magically turn on once we're dead. They are active right now. So this parable, if it's about the kingdom, and it is because Jesus said it is, then this parable is about the present and the future. Are we all good so far? Oh man, that was really, I like C. Yeah, that's nice. That's nice. Some people sprecking the Spanish in here. That's really good. So I'm gonna kind of overview what we see here, and then we're gonna apply this thing, okay? So there's a master, three servants, okay? And each servant is entrusted according to his ability, okay? And in this picture, there's one that gets five, there's one that gets two, there's one that gets one. Now, the one with five at once does a specific action. He trades. The one with two at once, he trades. The third one who got just one, he puts it in the ground. So he's just kind of a weirdo. Now, we can't know for sure because it doesn't say, but there seems to be a strong inference here that the master gave the servants instructions. And we'll see this a little bit later once he comes to settle their accounts, because the two servants do one thing, the other servant does something completely different. So the master entrusts and the master expects. Okay? He doesn't give them the talents and say, hey, go play the slots. Or hey, do whatever you want. Just play. Go to McDonald's. You know, he has a specific expectation that he has. And he goes away. Then he comes back. And he settles accounts. And the one with five, he's like, hey, look. He comes forward first. Hey, look. You gave me five talents. I got five more. He's like, that's a good job. It's a good job right there. You did good. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one with two comes forward. He's like, hey. You know, it wasn't five, but I did pretty well. I got two more. He's like, that's awesome. That is so cool. Well done. Good job. And the third servant, he doesn't even bring up how much he was given. He starts off with an accusation. He ends up calling the master a hard man. In Greek, that term actually means fierce, like a lion. He accuses him of being a fierce man, and then he makes a specific accusation about what he expects of people. And he said, I was afraid, so I buried it. And what's interesting is the master does something that might not make sense to us, and that's okay, because a lot of kingdom things don't make sense. He takes the talent from the guy that buried it, takes it away. He gives it to the dude who has 10 now. And then he explains what he just did. He said, for to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But to him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Now that doesn't make a whole lot of sense on the outside. That's why a lot of people, when they look at this passage, they're just like, hey, this is just a heaven and hell passage. That's all this is. Now, I don't know about all this trading and swapping. You know, one guy has one and he gives it to the guy with 10, and you know, this doesn't make any sense. But this is actually the moral of the story. So this is a story that Jesus is very intentional with, and I appreciate this as a pastor and as a preacher, because this is awesome. I mean, he gives us the subject. Subject is the kingdom, the rule and reign of God. And then he tells us what it means. It's still like the answer's there at the end. What does it mean? Let's apply it to our everyday lives. This passage is about kingdom. The greatest thing that you are given are opportunities to show the love of Christ. You are called the body of Christ. That's your identity. That's why we're here. We're not here to eat Doritos. Nothing against that. We're not here to, you know, just kind of do whatever we want. We are here to show people Jesus Christ. And so that's the lens that we're going to be looking at this, because that is the essence of kingdom. That's the greatest thing that he gives us. So one man, he hears the gospel, he gives his life to the Lord, and he gets excited, and he's got certain talents, certain abilities, and God gives him opportunities, and with the little that he has, because when the master settles accounts, he said, you had little, enter into the joy of your master. With the little he had, he did what God said. He obeyed. Then, the one with two, like the guy with two. The guy with two, he does the same thing. God's like, hey, for God so loved the world, I set you around people, show them the love of Christ. He does it with the little that he has. Maybe he doesn't have anything. He's not an evangelist. He doesn't know how to explain the gospel, but maybe somebody that's obviously hurting, just smiling at them and coming alongside saying, hey, I don't know what's going on, but one thing I do know, I'd love to pray with you, and I don't have all the answers, but Jesus is awesome, and I'm here for you, whatever you need. Maybe it was just that, or maybe it was just a simple thing, Holy Spirit, just a little something. The third servant is such a jerk. I get so angry. I didn't get angry until I actually started understanding this parable, because I almost felt sorry for the guy, because God like throws him into hell and everything, and it's kind of like, oh man, we're on to the deal, man. Like, should have taken that investment course. You know, that stinks. You know, God gave you a coin, and you know, he throws you in hell. You know, and so, you know, I never really got frustrated at this guy. And the other two guys, when they come up, they're like, hey, this is what I did, this is what I did. When he comes up, he accuses God of being fierce. And he says, listen, you reap what you didn't even sow. You're gathering crops, you didn't even spread the seed. He's telling God, listen, you have other people doing your work for you. Oh. Now there's an attitude a lot of Christians have. Oh, if God wants to touch that person, you could just give him a dream or something. You know, I'm living my life here. He said, listen, God, you're not even doing any work. You're making us do your work. What's ironic is the guy with five and the guy with two are totally cool with this, right? And it says they get joy. Now that, because this is present and future, this has two tiers, okay? They get present joy and future joy. Listen to me, if you change somebody's life, it brings joy. I'm not talking about happiness. Heath did a great sermon on happiness and joy, and he gave us Hershey Kisses. It's just so temporary. I'm talking about joy. If you change somebody's life, if somebody's having a bad day, and you encourage them, if you show somebody love, you just change their lives. Little you just did something bigger than most people can even conceive of. That's amazing. And the guy with five is like, this is awesome. And he gets joy. He's like, this is great. The guy with two, this is a great gig. Like, I can get into this. But the third servant doesn't look at it that way. Instead of looking at it like, I get to change somebody's life and I get to enter into joy, he says, listen, I don't want to do this work. You're asking me to work? In fact, that kind of scares me to do that. No, thank you. I mean, and then he has the gall, he says something, this is what makes me mad actually. He says at the end, he says, here, have what is yours. He actually gives up the talent. Here, take it. Have what is yours. Ugh, I don't want that. No, No, thank you. I'm not here to work. And God's like, okay. The dude with five, he loves living out his purpose and having joy. Let me just take what you have. I'm going to give it to him. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. This is kingdom, that you do one little tiny, tiny, minuscule, fun-size candy bar thing that's in your capacity in obedience, and God gives you more. And you have bigger capacity next time. And then the next time, just take that little step, and you have an abundance. More is growing. And you just take the next step, and suddenly you're a kingdom machine. You're fulfilled because that's your purpose in life. That's why you're here. And you're filled with joy, not just now, but you're actually storing up great treasures in heaven. There are countless verses about the joy and inheritance, the crowns and the glory at the end of this life, and you get joy now, fulfillment now, joy later, inheritance later. It's the biggest win-win of all time. And God said, yes. And he just, that's all he's doing, just a little. He's not doing anything. He's not going on the street corner, oh, doing something really big. No, he's using the little that God gave him. And that's all that God asks of anybody. God not once in the scriptures asked anybody to do something beyond their capacity. He doesn't do that. You have the capacity to do that one thing. And here's the thing that's awesome. You get to do it. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. How do I know it's a privilege? Because God took it away from that dude. Okay, if you don't want the joy, if you don't want that, I'm giving it to the guy with five. Now we might say that's mean. Actually, it's the most loving thing ever. Let me tell you why. God is going to change people's lives in Leland and Wilmington with or without you. He's not going to wait around, oh my goodness, Daniel's at the Walgreens. I just threw some conviction at his heart. There's a lady right next to him. He should pay for her vitamins. Show her the love of Jesus. I hope he does. Oh, Holy Spirit, it's not strong enough. Come on, he's not acting on it right now. Come on, he's got to do this. This is the one chance. Oh, dang it. No, no, no. If that opportunity doesn't take him, God's like, okay, you didn't take me up on that. Somebody else is going to touch that person's life. God isn't going to wait around for us. And he's got amazing people in this city and in Wilmington right now that take gospel seriously, and they would love to just eat it up. Just kingdom, 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 kingdom. This is an invitation right now that I'm giving you to partner with what God is doing, because it is the thrill of your life. I have wept over circumstances that God has orchestrated with pure joy that I never could have gotten from a crummy video game, from a stupid movie, from anything, not to hate on any of that stuff. Kingdom is a different kind of pleasure. It's so deep, you just know, I just did something that echoes through eternity, to borrow from Gladiator. That is amazing, profound stuff. And what makes me so sad is that as I've been wrestling with this with the Lord has brought to mind times when he said, hey, Daniel, you get to touch that person's life. And instead of being like, yes, oh, I love this. This is why I live. Instead of doing that, I was like, you can have it, God. And I don't want you guys to think I'm special or cool or anything. I'm just going to throw myself completely under the bus. I had an incident happen yesterday that makes me sick. I haven't even told Samantha about it. Makes me stinking sick to the core. The reason I said Walgreens, I was in Walgreens, okay? I'm making a purchase, and there's a lady that comes up to the desk. Now, I've been wrestling with this, okay? I've been preparing this message. Like, God's been rocking my world, okay? Trust me, I know what this is. And you can listen to me, and you can nod, but it might not go into your heart. Let me tell you, she was standing right next to me, middle-aged woman, and you know what? I felt God go, boom, hey, psh, psh. She had vitamins. It was like a vitamin thing. I was paying with the 20, could easily have covered it. Psh, hey, you know what I did? This is to my shame, because it stinks when you miss it. It's like missing a ride at Carowinds. Your buddies go on, you missed it. It makes me sick. I was standing there, and it was like I was just an auto. And the first excuse I gave, this makes me so mad, first excuse I gave is I was like, God, I don't have the card. I don't have the card. As if I can't explain. Listen, Jesus rocks your world. Come on. I love you because Jesus loves you. What can I pray for you about? I just did that because you know what? God gives unlimited love to you, no strings attached. I could have done that. And I was like, I don't have the card. Can you put your number in the machine? Psh, psh. Go on. Go pay for her order. I don't have a card, you know? I don't know how to explain the gospel. I've only been a Christian all these years and gone to stinking Bible college. Makes me sick. So I was like, I don't have a card. And then, you know, the excuse that's just so lame and pathetic. I was like, well, you know, I am in a hurry, which is true, but come on, like, if it's your existence, like, I think life can go on hold. I'm in a hurry, and just, you know, I get my change back, and I'm just such a dirtbag. And so anyway, I start walking to the car. I'm sitting in my van. In the rearview mirror, I see her getting into her vehicle. It's stinking broke my heart. I could have been filled with profound joy with putting stupid paper on the counter, and I could have changed somebody's life, and I chose not to. And God, not in a hateful way, he was like, buddy, you missed that one, bro. That you missed that one, man. Not mad at me, he's just saying, dude, you need your sermon more than you realize. I hope you're listening to what you're saying tomorrow. Man. Oh. Oh my goodness. Guys, this is the core of what we do. There are cards here. These are permanent cards of this church. Heath ordered like 1,000 of them, and I like to think that would only last our church a week, and we would just be like gospel machines, and it'd be like, Heath, you gotta order more. You know, these are gonna be around. No rush, no hurry, but I do challenge you, keep one, at least one in your wallet, because you know what? If my flesh in that moment was like, I don't have a card, I'm guessing your flesh is going to want to pull out that card as well and say, oh, sorry, I can't do it. I don't have the reach card, you know? I'd have to explain the gospel myself, heaven forbid. You know, keep one in your wallet and just change lives. That's why you are here. I love you guys. You guys are awesome. Let's get this thing, because God is going to change Leland and Wilmington, whether you like it or not, whether you partner with him or not. He's going to take care of business because he's God, and that's what he does. For God so loved the world, he's going to take care of it. You can join, or you can sit on the sidelines and be a little bit like I was yesterday. God, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. God, we want to see your rule and your reign flow through Leland and Wilmington and the surrounding areas, Lord. Pray against any excuses, Lord. This is game time. This is why we are here. This is purpose. This is destiny. Lord, let's do this. Let's do this, God. Remind us that it is joy and fulfillment. that it is joy overflowing to look at somebody and say, Jesus loves you, dude. I don't have an agenda. I'm just here to bless you. Oh, God, please help us. Please help us. Because if you don't use us, you'll just use somebody else. We don't want to miss a thing, God, because you're too incredible for us to miss anything. Thanks for this word, Lord. May it sink in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.